Hello and welcome to the Dr. Nyman Show. Today is Monday, February 17th, 2020. There has been quite a lot of activity since we talked to you last yesterday. Dr. Nyman would like to go over everything in detail. It is now my pleasure to turn the show over to Dr. Nyman.
Thanks, Ryan. Just like yesterday, I'm going to really focus on the Diamond Princess evacuations and implications. As many of the listeners know, the U.S. sent two planes over to Japan to evacuate the U.S. citizens who had not been confirmed to be infected with the coronavirus. As was mentioned yesterday, it sounded like there were going to be logistic issues to actually get the passengers out on Sunday, because it was pretty clear from the results that had been released prior that many of these cases would certainly be infected. And it wasn't clear how the U.S. CDC was going to actually test them, get the results, and get them off the ground on Sunday. Their plan became evident that they weren't going to test them. They were simply going to examine them. And if they were asymptomatic, that would be sufficient to gain passage to the airplanes. And in view of the fact that Japan had already identified 111 asymptomatic cases who were positive for the virus, it seemed likely that many of the Americans would fall into that category, because the vast majority of passengers and crew had never been tested. The initial testing was focused on 120 cases that were symptomatic in their close contacts, and then subsequent tests were on others that fell in the same category, had developed symptoms, and their contacts, and then towards the end, it kind of moved into at-risk passengers that were either had underlying conditions initially or subsequently were just the older patients, or I'm sorry, passengers. So in view of the large number that hadn't been tested, it seemed likely that the most accurate number I had for Americans were that 46 had been positive and were in hospitals in Japan. And then that meant that there were something like 380 or so eligible based upon prior results. But if they weren't going to test them and they were just going to take asymptomatic, then they would almost certainly have a reasonably large number of cases who would be PCR positive if tested. And so they just use symptoms to allow citizens to board the planes as long as they had filled out all their forms accordingly by, I think, 10 o'clock in the morning Japan time. But in any event, they did load them on the buses to take them to the airport, and then they got a notice from Japan that 14 of those that were on the bus actually did test positive, even though they were asymptomatic. That led to a delay on how they were going to handle that, and the decision was that they were going to allow them onto the planes because they were asymptomatic, and that they would get segregated from the rest of the passengers on the plane to limit further spread of the virus. And then a joint statement was put out by the Department of State and HHS explaining the situation and the rationale. And then they did get loaded on the planes and took off. I believe both planes have now landed, one in California, the other in Texas at Travis and Lackland Air Force Bases. And they had said earlier that these passengers would be kept separate from the ones that were already there, and that at a minimum they would be doing another 14-day quarantine period to ensure that they were not infected. They're using a 14-day incubation period as the rationale for that type of time period. And so they have a minimum of 14 that are positive. It's likely that quite a bit more than 14 will be positive since they were never tested. And it's also possible that some of those that did test negative in Japan will be positive in the U.S. either because the sample was collected too early in Japan or because the assay in Japan lacks sensitivity or specificity or reproducibility and it's giving false negatives, which there were some suggestions to that effect from some of the passengers regarding one passenger in particular that I believe was positive and negative and positive, and it seemed that there was some issues with the assay giving false negatives. In any event, this result will certainly complicate subsequent evacuations because after the 14 were announced, Japan indicated that another 85 or for a total of 99 were positive in the latest set of tests, which involved 504 passengers. So that, and that of those 99, 70 were asymptomatic. So that brought the number of asymptomatic positives on the ship up to 181, and it brought the number of positives overall up to 454. So it's a very large number, but there's still almost 2,000 on the ship, or who were on the ship. Some of those are now in the United States, but there would have been about 2,000 that had not been tested in the U.S. is probably well over 300. The number on the ship would probably be about 1,700 now that have not been tested. And the number in the U.S. would be in the neighborhood of 300. Or it's not clear exactly how many were actually tested in these 504, how many of those were American citizens. So it's the numbers aren't exact, but the ballparks are there. And so there's quite a few in the U.S. who have never been tested, and even more on the ship that have never been tested. And so that would create a problem for any other country evacuating that, number one, they probably have more positives now than they had before this latest round. Number two, there are probably additional ones who have already given samples to Japan that'll be, those results will be released probably tonight Eastern time. And then there will be another set that have never been tested and could create the same issues as we've seen for the U.S. and that they really don't know whether these other cases are also infected, these other passengers are soon to be evacuees. And that might complicate the boarding on planes and taking off, and that might complicate how the receiving country was going to view these cases and may insist that they all are tested at a minimum before they get on the plane, or they may do the same thing the U.S. did. It's somewhat controversial as to how infectious the asymptomatic patients are. And they conceivably could have them compartmentalized on the plane, although it's far from clear as to how segregated the infected are from the uninfected. And then the U.S. will have the issue of dividing these patients up. You know, they have multiple categories now. They would have the ones that came from the Diamond Princess. They would have others that had been evacuated largely from Wuhan. So they had already said they're going to keep those two populations separate, but now they've essentially got three categories of passengers. On the planes, they would have those that have never been tested. They would have those that have been tested but were always negative. And they would have those that were tested and are now positive, even though they're asymptomatic. And presumably, the CDC would test all of the evacuees and probably just divide them into two groups, those that are positive on the CDC test and those that are negative. And but it's going to be a complicated situation in the U.S. It's going to be a even more complicated situation for other countries that are planning on evacuating citizens today and tomorrow. And the number involved is very large. Some of the reports are coming out now and breaking down what country various passengers are from. There was an overall one at the beginning. I believe it was something close to 54 countries had citizens on the ship. And now some of these lists are coming out, and there's one that just came out in the Balkans and had cases that were in various countries in Romania, North Macedonia, and Serbia. And a few of those countries actually had positives. There was a positive now in a Russian national. And the positive list is going to get significantly larger. One of the reports that came out indicated that 27 crew members from the Philippines were positive. Exactly what role crew members had, probably especially preparation and distribution of meals would certainly be at that top of the list. Back in the SARS outbreak, there were some connections to infected chefs and restaurants and leading to people getting infected at restaurants. And this would, same type of concern would be present for a cruise ship. It's actually bigger for a cruise ship because they would be eating, you know, three meals a day that would be prepared by someone. And then there's the preparation of the food, and then there's the delivery of the food, and then there's the collection of the empty trays, all of which can lead to cross-contamination from the kitchen to the cabins, as well as from the cabins to other cabins. So even passengers that didn't leave their room, as long as they were eating and touching trays, would have a at least a theoretical risk of getting infected. And the total number that are infected is you know, far from clear. There have been 454 that have been identified in the tests done by Japan. But counting the Americans that have already left, there would be almost 2,000 that have never been tested. At least in the results so far, there is probably a subset of those have been tested, but results haven't been released yet. And so the potential of there being over 1,000 out of the 3,700 is a very real possibility. And having positives being spread over, you know, several dozen countries is also a possibility. And rolling quarantine resets, so that the time that people would be quarantined before they would have gone 14 days without an exposure to a known positive could, you know, turn into quite a long time period. And then there's probably going to be an issue with staffing the ship if crew members keep coming up positive, and there would be an issue as to whether negatives should be quarantined on the ship, which seems absurd today. It was absurd when they started this. That is certainly not a safe environment. And when there were known positives, literally dozens followed by hundreds of known positives, to continue that quarantine on a ship that's loaded with virus that's a very apparently infectious agent is, as I said before, it's going to be textbook, you know, how not to manage a pandemic. And there are other ships now that like the Westerdam that released passengers, and then one was confirmed twice to be positive, leaves open the possibility that many of those passengers are also positive, and they're scattered trying to largely fly back to countries of origin, which appear to be the most are in the United States, but a fairly large segment of those passengers are at multiple, I think it might be 20 countries in Europe. And so it's an epidemic bordering on pandemic right now. And these are just known examples. You know, there were clearly many people that were flying out of China for a significant time period. And the majority of cases do have mild symptoms that kind of mimic a cold. I mean, these are the same family of viruses that do cause colds. And so many would be fairly mild and not seek medical treatment, and could very well be symptomatic, but have a cough and not think it's sufficient to go to see a doctor, or see a doctor and not raise a red flag because of travel histories, because the virus has gone into multiple countries. Some of the more dramatic examples would be Singapore and Hong Kong, and probably now Japan. There is an example of a couple that had gone to Hawaii. The one developed symptoms in Hawaii, the other developed symptoms when she returned to Japan. The disease onset dates are such that it's possible they were infected shortly after they arrived in Hawaii, or it's also possible they were infected shortly before they departed from Japan, so that they developed symptoms in Hawaii, but they actually were infected and tested when they returned, all in Japan. They were in the Aichi prefecture, and I believe the number, including the couple that are from that area, is now up to six. One was just announced today. And the one that was announced today is an acquaintance of the husband. So it's a little unclear if these other cases in Japan, at least the first ones, were the source of the infection for the couple, or if it's the other way around, that these are contacts of the couple that were infected once the couple returned. Like I said, I think there's a total of six. At least two of them are linked to the couple. It's probably reasonable that all six are linked together. That information is available at the Web Ministry of Health site. And, I really haven't gone through all six of them yet to see if they're all linked together. But that's another example of how countries are one flight away from infection, and whether this is Japan being infected from via Hawaii, or Hawaii being affected by Japan, still is under investigation. But there's certainly it's certainly clear that the virus was in Hawaii and returned or came to Japan. It's unclear which is the case, but it is definitely moving around, going over large distances, and certainly happening in cases that have yet to be reported. And the number of cases in the countries that have significant air travel anyway is going to be significant, and that would include the United States and Canada, as well as all of Europe. So that's it for right now. I'm sure there'll be more developments today. We'll do updates as needed, but at least that's the latest on the Diamond Princess, which now is some websites are now listing it kind of as its own country, so to speak, because they're not sure what to do with these cases. Are the 14 Americans supposed to be in Japan, or are they supposed to be in the United States? And if they're in the United States, are they supposed to be at the quarantine centers, or should they be at the states where the citizens reside? In the past, they generally go back to the state or cities or locations that where the infected individual resides, even if they're infected elsewhere or treated and identified as being infected elsewhere. But in any event, the number of cases, the number of Americans anyway, is certainly going to get higher. I believe it was 46 that are hospitalized in Japan, and 14 more that are now in California, I assume. So that's 60 Americans that have been confirmed, but that a possibility that number will be above 100 is probably very real, and may be confirmed in the next day or two as soon as the CDC releases results on the other Americans that were evacuated, as well as there's some Americans that are still on the ship that refused to evacuation, and they would certainly be in, have a distinct possibility of increasing the number of Americans that are positive because they were on the Diamond Princess at one time or another. So that's it for this morning.
All right, thanks, Dr. Nyman, for the information as always. Listeners, please keep up to date with our website for the latest information and news on this emerging virus outbreak. And we will talk to you again soon. Everyone have a nice day.